I think it raises a lot of concerns. It raises some serious questions about how we're going to, as a nation in the future, address maintaining some level of integrity within these marine reserves. And I think that's clearly what's happened very recently. There is very strong evidence to indicate that these vessels were operating in the Coral Sea. And I think the reason they ended up being apprehended in state waters was because there's a heightened level of surveillance in our Great Barrier Reef Marine Park to what there is in the Commonwealth region. And the indications that I have is that they were operating in a marine, what is currently a marine reserve, the Lihau Reef Complex, and the sea cucumber stocks in those areas would be extremely healthy, to say the least.
Based on the knowledge that you have of this particular operation, is it fair to conclude that they were specifically targeting protected areas?
I think you'd have to definitely say that. With the advent of the internet, it doesn't take long for any person to work out what regions of the Coral Sea are protected, and also to work out what regions would be more favourable for the species of sea cucumber that they're targeting. These organisations are quite well organised. It's not a haphazard. They're not simply cruising around the ocean randomly fishing areas. I think it is targeted. And I'd say that also applied to where they fished in the Great Barrier Reef Marine Park. I would hazard to say that they were targeting closed areas of Marine Park B zones. And with places like Lihau being so remote, being so far offshore, the vessels can operate there, you know, for reasonably long periods of time. You're talking days, if not weeks, before they may or may not be picked up by surveillance. It's just the cost of covering this immense area of ocean is just prohibitive. I don't think the government, in its current situation, can justify the amount of money needed to really ensure that the current areas that are closed in the Coral Sea are maintained and the integrity of them is maintained. So by increasing that area very substantially, it raises huge questions about whether or not the Marine Reserve will actually work in the future.
You've shown me some of the imagery on your screens here in the cabin of your vessel. Just how immense is it, and how difficult is it, the task of not only drawing the lines on the map of the areas that should be protected, but then when it comes to the actual critical issue of whether they can be protected?
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard to quantify in words the scale of the region, you know, and in terms of understanding what different regions require higher levels of protection than others, that, you know, that comes down to a science-based study. And even to achieve that to the degree that you'd really need to gain the greatest benefit would be years, if not decades, in the making. I'm definitely for changes in the marine park in the Coral Sea to upgrade it. But we do need to realise that it is a big area. There's very, very few people out there. I've spent the better part of the last 10 months in the Coral Sea, covered over 4,000 nautical miles, and in that time I've seen one surveillance aircraft and one patrol vessel. And not saying that these guys aren't trying to get out there, but, you know, we struggle to fund our schools and our hospital systems. So while you have commercial vessels and other vessels operating in the Coral Sea, it does put more feet on the ground, so to speak, and increase the probability that people that are there for the wrong reason are noted, and therefore the authorities can act on them. It just comes down to, even if a foreign fishing vessel was detected by aircraft hundreds of nautical miles out to sea, by the time a surveillance vessel was dispatched and arrived on the scene, that foreign fishing vessel is more than likely well and truly left the scene and in not just international waters, but probably in some other nation's waters. A lot of the sections of the Coral Sea, the proximity to Australian mainland, they're actually closer to PNG, Vanuatu and the Solomon Islands. So it's really hard, one, to detect them, and it's even harder then to apprehend them. And this is why a lot of these vessels just feel that they have free range, because, you know, under our current system, I can't see a way of achieving and maintaining the Marine Reserve program.
Nonetheless, Border Force authorities were successful with this. The two vessels that were apprehended in the Great Barrier Reef Marine Park. What kind of deterrent? Will that be an effective mechanism, a way of deterring future incursions?
Oh, look, in the short term, it would probably it would give them a bit of a sting. But unfortunately, the reality is, as fish stocks are diminishing around the world, places that are protected and have high levels of fish stocks, not just protected but well regulated, like the Coral Sea currently is, it's a very, very highly regulated fishery. And they become a spotlight for foreign fishing vessels. The money involved in some of these fisheries is incredible. And really, simply a loss of a couple of vessels is just collateral damage. They would simply reorganise themselves and then plan another strike. And we've also got to consider that there's vast areas of reef complex that are owned, that are in waters, you know, that are under the Solomon Islands jurisdiction or PNG jurisdiction, like the indispensables of the southwest of the Solomon Islands, vast reef complexes that, you know, in the past would not have had a lot of fishing effort, but unfortunately are increasingly under pressure. And these then become jump-off points. As these areas get fished heavier and heavier, they become jump-off points to then access regions in Australian waters.
When you see the images of those vessels getting dragged away with reportedly hundreds of kilos of sea cucumbers on board, what kind of threat does that pose to your viability? And, I mean, there are only, I think, three of you in the sea cucumber fishery?
Yeah, there's only a handful of us. There's only two of us really harvesting on the East Coast and in the Coral Sea.
So why should the general public be concerned about this, the loss of sea cucumbers, which I guess is a bit different to the prize species that some, you know, boaties might go out chasing every weekend?
Yeah, because I think it's an example of a bigger picture and a bigger problem that we're facing with illegal fishing globally. And the Coral Sea is not just about sea cucumber. There's, you know, vast stocks of tuna and incursion of illegal tuna fishing vessels into our waters. It all has massive economic impacts on the fisheries that are operating here. And the economics of those fisheries are really vital to small communities like Innisfail that I operate out of. So we need to consider how, as a society, we manage this into the future. And it's basically an impossible task to assume that the government can fund and put the feet on the ground required to do this. It has to be a joint scenario between industry and surveillance bodies to get the results that we want. So I think it needs to be clearly spelled out to the greater public that simply locking up vast sections of the Coral Sea as marine reserves and assuming that they will simply be there for the future for everybody is incredibly naive. And unfortunately, the reality is we cannot stop the increasing value of global seafood and the increasing pressure on our stocks nationally. And if we don't consider that thoroughly with the changes that we're making, then all of the changes that we're making in the future will not meet the mark.
From what you're saying, a sustainable fishing industry and the world's largest marine park are not mutually exclusive goals. In fact, they depend on one another.
Oh, they completely depend on one another. But there's been, you know, sort of a bit of a hijacking of the argument by some sort of radical sides that you can't have a marine reserve and have a fishing industry, but absolutely you can. They have to work hand in hand for one to ensure that the other actually is what it is expected to be, a true marine reserve. Otherwise, it's simply an area that's locked up and at the mercy of those that have no consideration whatsoever for marine protected areas.